Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As the Bible makes absolutely clear, we are to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. That is why at the Christian Research Institute we are so focused on apologetics, or the defense of the faith. And so often when we think of the defense of the faith, we think only of using our well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the life and truth and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. But apologetics is much more than that. Apologetics is not only pre-evangelism, it is post-evangelism. So when the winds and waves of doubt beat upon the door of your house of faith, you can go back to those great apologetic verities. God created the universe. Jesus Christ is God and demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of his resurrection. And the Bible is a reliable source for faith and practice. It is indeed the infallible resource. It is a gift given to us by God himself, and it is utterly trustworthy. The people, places, and even the particulars that we find in the pages of Scripture are absolutely correct, and so is the Bible. In fact, the Bible has prophetic prowess, unlike any other book in the history of the human race. God is able to say things that are going to happen in the future. In fact, God says, I told you these things before they happened so that when they happened, you would believe. The Bible is demonstrably the Word of God. So we have the written Word of God. We have the living Word of God, Jesus Christ, who communed among us. And therefore, we can know that the God who created the universe is not just impersonal, but a personal God who came so that we could touch him and have a relationship with him for not only time, but for eternity. A lot of you hanging on. First up is Claire in Horton, Colorado. Hi, Claire.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. This is my second call to you to help me try and understand a passage from Scripture. In this case, it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 through, 32, something like that. Absolute necessity of Christ's resurrection. And Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Oh, my goodness. Does that totally negate our redemption? Please help me understand that, because I just can't believe Paul would say something like that.
But what he says in 1 Corinthians 15 is that this is of first importance. So he is passing on something to the believers that is of first importance. And what is of first importance is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And what Paul is arguing is that if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. And then he goes on to say, more than that, we're found to be false witnesses about God, for we testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he didn't raise him from the dead if, in fact, the dead are not raised. And that's the context in which he says that if Christ has not been raised, then we have a futile faith, because we are then putting our faith in a Savior who did not have the power to lay down his life and take it up again. In other words, now we're placing our faith in a mere mortal as opposed to placing our faith in God. And therefore, says Paul, if Christ has not been raised, we are still dead in our sins, because only Christ can atone for our sins. And then he goes further. He says, if in fact Christ has not been raised, then even those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. In fact, they have themselves, before they died, placed their faith in a God who was not God at all. He was simply someone claiming to be God. So Paul is pointing out that through the resurrection, Jesus Christ not only demonstrated that he was God, but assured that as he could raise himself from the dead, he too can raise us from the dead.
Let's see. So I'm relatively new to studying the scripture, but let's say I'm a skeptic and I believe more in the spiritual resurrection rather than the bodily resurrection, that I look at the Bible more figuratively than literally, and look at the Bible as being poetic, that so much of it is symbolic and figurative and hyperbole and all of these things. So am I then lost?
First of all, the Bible is a treasury with all kinds of literary genres and forms. Obviously, the Bible uses metaphors, but metaphors do not denude the Bible of truth. They illumine truth we might otherwise miss. You know, all of language is a dead reef of metaphor, so we think in metaphors. That does not mean that the metaphors do not communicate reality, or extended metaphors like similes. It doesn't mean that they do not communicate reality. When you step on the scale and say, oh my goodness, I weigh a ton, that does not mean that what you have said using hyperbolic language doesn't have meaning or significance. But as to what is going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is we have a historical narrative, about a Christ who walked this earth. And now Paul, in didactic teaching form, is he's elaborating on the importance of the Jesus who walked this earth, who was literally crucified, who was literally buried, who literally rose from the dead, that is the heart of our faith, that is not a nice analogy. Just as fall turns into winter and winter turns back into spring, so as the flowers are resurrected from their sleep during winter, so we will. That's not what's going on. Paul is giving a four-part argument. He's saying Christ died physically. Secondly, the tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. Thirdly, Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and then Paul goes through a litany of the people that Jesus appeared to, and then he says those people were utterly transformed by the resurrection because they knew they too would rise. So yes, the Bible is asserting the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, which ensures our physical resurrection as well. And to your point, resurrection is not mythological or figurative. The Christian faith is not Platonic. It's very physical. We believe that Christ rose from the dead, and so we too physically will rise from the dead. Now, as human beings, we have a physical aspect to our humanity and a metaphysical aspect to our humanity. When we die, there's a separation of the two, but at resurrection, the soul returns to a body that is physically resurrected, like the caterpillar. The caterpillar dies, but it is resurrected as a butterfly. It's the same physically, but it's different organizationally. And so it will be, says Paul, by all kinds of analogies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, same passage that you're alluding to, so it will be with us. We will be those who experience physical resurrection. We will be resurrected from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable, from corruptible to incorruptible. That is the hope of Christianity, and it's central to the Christian faith. You take that out of the Bible, and the Bible is a torn and tattered document devoid of all meaning.
Yes. Well, I certainly thank you, Hank, for helping me come to terms with this. I'm going to be still struggling with it, but thank you. You've helped me understand it better. Thank you again, Hank.
Thank you, dear. Well, and you know, this is the essence of Scripture. I've written a book about it called Resurrection. I've also written a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. You can get your copy on the web for your gift. And by the way, those who want a personalized copy, when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send a personalized copy out to you, a family member, or a friend. That's true with all of my books, but certainly what's relevant right now in terms of the conversation is Afterlife and my book Resurrection, two books that have to do with the centrality of our faith. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers now. Sean next in Midwest City, Oklahoma. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's good to talk to you again.
Well, it's nice to talk to you as well.
Basically, my question is going to be based upon, if I'm not mistaken, what Francis Schaeffer talked about, the upper level, lower level, the upper level having the meaning, purpose, value, and the lower level being basically the atheistic worldview. I saw the film the other day called The Unbelievers with Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss. And in part of the film, Professor Krauss basically made the statement of, don't be depressed that there's no ultimate meaning beyond yourself and the universe. Celebrate that. Get your own meaning, of course, as he would say. Basically, would you say that he's making that leap to that upper level in saying that?
Well, what I would say is that what he is saying is absolutely absurd. I mean, if, in fact, we are fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics, then we have to bite that bullet. We have to say that there's no free will, that there's no meaning to the universe, and we would have to say with Alex Rosenberg, who wrote a book, in fact, it's called The Atheist Guide to Reality, we would have to say there's no difference between right or wrong, good and bad. There simply is no moral distinction whatsoever. And therefore, there's no reason to be moral except that it might momentarily make you feel better. But as he points out, history doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any purpose. It's full of sound and fury. It signifies nothing. So the atheist worldview, at the end of the day, gives you no hope. And when I say at the end of the day, imagine lying on your deathbed, thinking that you're simply going to be extinguished, be nothing more than ashes in the wind, as opposed to recognizing that when you are about to die, you will continue to experience reality, although in an unembodied form, and that reality will continue until the time that Jesus appears a second time, and then you'll experience resurrection or metamorphosis. The body that's mortal will become immortal, perishable will become imperishable, like the caterpillar that dies. Your body will be the same physically, but it will be different organizationally. And so the bodily resurrection is that which gives us meaning, purpose, hope, and allows us to deal with all the indignities that we face in a cursed creation.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. I just wanted to get your take on that. I was just astounded to hear him affirm meaning, and yet on his very view, there is no meaning, purpose, or value. And it's funny how you mentioned Alex Rosenberg. In his debate with Dr. Craig, it was very, very clever, but, I mean, it worked. Dr. Craig used his own argument to refute his own argument. Basically, he said, if there is no meaning to anything, or no word or sentence can make any sense, then, but I'm thinking about his argument. And basically, he uses his own view to refute his view.
So. Yeah, well, you know, the one thing, though, I have to say about Alex Rosenberg, unlike some atheists, I mean, he bites the bullet. I mean, if you look at the prologue to his book, there's a whole litany of statements that he makes which are very, very clear, cogent, and with those statements is saying unequivocally, without any kind of dodge, he's saying life has no meaning, it has no purpose, you have no meaning, you have no purpose, you have no free will, everything is fatalistically determined. He bites the logical extension of the atheist worldview, and he doesn't equivocate, and I have to admire that, but when you read it, you end up being really empty because you think, wow, not only are some of his arguments fallacious, but the overall worldview that he is giving is not at all a hopeful worldview. It's one that would leave you in sackcloth and ashes if you thought about it too long and hard.
Yeah. No, it's pretty amazing sometimes to, I don't know, hear what they want to affirm, but yet on their very view.
Hey, Sean, nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll go to Fresno, California, and Erica. Hi, Erica.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question regards the differences we find in the four Gospels. I'm taking an academic class at Fresno State, and just a couple of questions had popped up. But I just was wondering, is there any material or books that you recommend regarding this topic?
Yeah, I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? In fact, I use a lot of analogies where people find alleged contradictions within the Bible, and then I resolve them in the book, Has God Spoken? But, you know, the fact of the matter is that far from being contradictory, you look at the four gospel accounts as a classic case in point, the Synoptic Gospels and John, they are clearly complementary, not contradictory. And a consensus of credible scholarship considers the core set of facts presented by the gospel writers to be authentic and reliable for that very reason, because there are unique perspectives that are provided by all the gospel writers. And that demonstrates that you don't have collusion. I mean, if all the writers said exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, and if this was done in a court of law, as a jury, you would start thinking, you know, there's some collusion going on here. So you have them writing from their own unique perspectives and from their own vantage points. Luke is writing, for example, primarily to a Gentile audience. Matthew would be writing primarily to a Jewish audience. So if you take the Olivet Discourse as a classic case in point, you would have it written from a perspective that would make sense to a Jew steeped in Judaism. But also in Luke's gospel, it would make sense because you're writing to a Gentile that doesn't really know that much about the Mosaic backdrop or the prophetic backdrop of Scripture, and therefore the Olivet Discourse is presented in such a way that it would make sense to that Gentile reading it. But there's no contradiction in the accounts. They are completely complementary.
I have like a specific example that I was just wondering about. I don't have the exact verses, but in the Synoptics, the death of Jesus was on the Passover, and then in John, it was, or maybe I'm confusing it, it was after the Passover in the Synoptics, and then during the Passover in John.
Yeah, well, this is a classic case in point and something that I deal with quite extensively in Has God Spoken? People assume that when you read the Gospel of John, that you have chronology going from the lowest date to the highest date. And that's not how John presents his gospel at all. John presents his gospel thematically, so it is symmetrical all the while not being sequential. And if you read it in a purely sequential fashion, then you can come up with all kinds of contradictions. But this is part of seeing the fingerprints of an eloquent masterpiece, and those fingerprints are John's. One of the reasons some time ago we offered the five books of John, I wanted people to hear the five books of John together. Because when you do, you see John's use of the number seven. And of course, John has a sequence of seven, not only in the Gospel of John, but uses the number of seven in myriad fashion in the book of Revelation. But in the Gospel of John, in his three epistles, in the book of Revelation, you see those fingerprints and you start to understand how he's put his writing together. So we offered the five books of John in the Word of Promise audio recordings, and then I actually did introductions to each one of them, made that an offer for those that support the ministry. But again, my purpose, the reason I did that, is so that people wouldn't be deluded into thinking that he was writing in simply a chronological fashion.
Okay. Yeah, that makes much more sense. Thank you so much, Hank. I've listened to you ever since I was little, and I really appreciate what you do.
Well, Erica, thank you so much for calling today. And as I said, I've written about this in Has God Spoken? It's one of the most significant books that I feel that I've ever had the privilege to write, because in it I deal with so many of the current popular contradictions that are cited by people like Bart Ehrman that say that the Bible is not only dishonest but a dangerous book to read, that say that the Bible was fabricated, that say that Jesus was a false apocalyptic prophet, that take the synoptics and read all kinds of alleged contradictions into them. And unless you know how to expose this fundamentalist from the left, you could fall for it. In fact, he's very proud of saying that most of the students, even from evangelical homes, that come to his class at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, lose their faith. Shouldn't be, if people knew how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and that's what I deal with. And Has God Spoken? Again, thanks for your prayers, for your support. Without you, I couldn't do what I do. The Christian Research Institute would be impotent to make a difference while there's yet time. So thanks for your prayers and your support. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.